Hear the word of the Lord for a meditation this morning. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we are your precious children, that we are that holy priesthood, that are forgiven, set free, and made new so that we can offer spiritual sacrifices that are honorable and acceptable to you, that we are what you call a chosen race, a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. Lord, we thank you that today we could honor our mothers and we could honor and respect the fact that you have given us birth. You have called us by name. We are your sheep. We are your people. Satan cannot snatch us out of your hand. Nothing can snatch us out of your hand. You love us dearly, and we are yours. May we walk as your kingdom people. May we know the covenant you've made with us, and may we know that our identity is secure in you. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father. Oh, you're going to have children's time? Okay. If the children want to go with Mrs. Johnson, there's going to be children's time. Cool. I didn't know that. All right. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who are we? Well, first of all, on Mother's Day, we are our mother's child, right? That's number one. Who are we? Well, through Jesus Christ and in baptism, we are children of a living God, right? Who are we? According to St. Peter in chapter 2, of his first letter, as you heard Brian read it today, we are to be a holy priesthood, right? A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. I love those words. And yet, even in the very presence of Jesus, his disciples still struggled with their identity as more than just Jews. Notice this. I want to put it into context. John 13, we often use that during the Seder meal because John 13, even though Jesus, in John's gospel, Jesus doesn't actually institute the Lord's Supper. That's in Matthew and in Luke. But we recognize that in John's gospel, he spends a lot of time, chapter 13, right through chapter 16, on the Last Supper. It's kind of the crescendo of his gospel because he wants people to understand that Jesus does his most extensive teaching in that upper room when he starts out at the beginning of chapter 13 by doing something that is totally revolutionary to the people in the Jewish culture, because in the Jewish culture, a rabbi was to be honored. You were to do things for the rabbi, not the other way around. And what does he do at the beginning of chapter 13? You remember? How good is your Bible knowledge? Washes his disciples' feet. He really, really likes to get them confused, doesn't he? It doesn't take much, by the way. But he likes to get us confused. He likes to get us off guard. And that's what he does when he does this, right? He gets them off guard. And then he throws in that little note about how one of you is going to betray me. That's really bad. And it's in that context of the Last Supper where they would have had the Deinu, which, how many of you know what the Deinu is in the Passover meal? We've done it enough times, right? It would have been enough for us. It's a whole long list of things, and the response of the people is, it would have been enough. So it's not a big surprise when he's teaching this in John chapter 14. Can we have the gospel lesson up for a second there? In John chapter 14, when he says these words that we hear so often, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I like the word trust, actually, in that. That's just my way of translating that word. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and will take you to myself. And where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going. And this, I love this. Thomas said to the Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Now, you see what I mean by throwing them off? Has he not been telling them all along where he's going? I love Thomas. Isn't Thomas just so real? Yeah, he is, isn't he? We understand that. Thomas is just real. And he's like he, you know, how many of the other disciples were thinking this but didn't say it? All of them? Yeah, you know, you always got to have one. It's like when you have multiple children, you find out one of them always says the thing you say, why did you say that? It's okay to think it, but why did you actually say it? Don't you know you're going to get in trouble? Anyways. No, I don't have any of those. No. So Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus says this wonderful passage, and I think it's wonderful because he uses the I am throughout John's gospel. Last week I identified, I think, 9 different I am's because we talked about I am the good shepherd, I am the gate, right? And this is one of them. And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. And then he says this wonderful thing that I think is very encouraging for us, but very discouraging for people who don't believe it, right? No one comes to the Father except through me. It's very encouraging for us because and through baptism, what do we receive? Yeah, we receive the Lord and he marks us with his name and we are his. And so we know that we are the ones he's talking about that come through to the Father through him. Isn't that awesome? What a gift of grace. But then I want to go on to these next verses because oftentimes we stop there. I know I'm guilty. I think, how can you say any more? I mean, it just... But I want to go on and talk about what he says next because he says something really fantastic. He says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now, I want you to think about this. For a Jewish person, to see God meant you're toast. You know this, right? For a Jewish person, to see God face to face meant done. Sayonara, baby. You're out of here, right? Isn't that what it meant? Trying to use colloquialisms because I figured that might help, right? But it's interesting because Philip says to him, and this again I think is why we want to remember what happened in the Passover, because he says, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. That sounds so liturgical. If you would just remember what the context of this exhortation is, it's so liturgical. He is just figuring, I'm going to hit this out of the ballpark. I'm going to get a kudos for this. Because I'm using the Passover language here. Lord, show us the Father, and it will be enough for us. It didn't quite go as he expected. How many of us, when we think we're going to please God, find out it didn't go as we expected? How many of us, when we figure we got it figured out and we know exactly what God wants and we start moving in that direction and all of a sudden we realize that wasn't exactly what he expected? Because this is what Jesus says to him. I just think it's so funny because I think the disciples, just they were like so, they're so much like us. They're so much like us. It's so refreshing to read the scriptures and really take it in. I read this in about six different translations, and I just have to tell you, it is so funny. Some of them are so hilarious. And they're not just translations, but some paraphrases. Because if you know the context, see, what happens is most people today have never experienced the Passover, the Seder. So they don't know what's happening. And so they don't get this irony that Philip is thinking to himself, I am doing the right thing. It's like last night I found a DVD. We were at our son-in-law's graduation party. I found a DVD with Gloria on the front of it. So then I took it and I showed it to our daughter Gloria because she likes to spell things. And she started singing Gloria. Pretty funny, actually. I wish I would have had a video. Because she was so excited. She had found the right thing. It was her name. It was, she could spell it. And she was so excited. And I think this is like Philip. He knew, this is what I got to say. This is going to fit great. Lord, show us the Father. And Dayanu, it is enough for us. Am I saying that right, Bruce? Dayanu? Dayanu, yeah. Dayanu. It is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? I mean, he said this over and over and over and over and over. Do I have to go on? And over again. He said this. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does this work, does these works, does his work, sorry. Just think about this. The Father who dwells in me. I want you to think about this. We have ever, that the reason we did the Apostles' Creed today is because we do it every week, and sometimes we'll insert the Nicene Creed or the Athanasian Creed, but the reason these creeds were written was because people were always challenging the Trinity. Well, just think about this. The Father who dwells in me, believe in me, and I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. He's trying to explain to them the Trinity. See that? I and the Father are one. I know it's hard. It was really hard for Jewish people because they were told, ever since they were young, they were taught, the Lord your God is one. Right? They were taught that, and it was reinforced because they were dealing with all kinds of gods out there, and people needed to remember, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So Jesus is trying to teach these poor people, and it is so hard. How many of us have trouble, especially as we get maybe a little bit older, with change? Remember, I'm speaking in a Lutheran church here. You don't know all the jokes about Lutherans and change, right? Change? We don't do that. It's hard. I don't like change. I don't think most of us do. The only one that likes change is a baby. And even then. So he says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Because up until this point, he's been doing amazing things, right? They should simply believe, because who can do these as a human being? He can't do these as a human being. He's doing these by the Father's power. He's speaking with the Father's authority. Even the people who didn't like him recognized that he spoke with authority. That's why they didn't like him even more. Kind of like when we're speaking the truth today, right? I mentioned in my prayer, I was so excited yesterday. I listened to the president. Now, you don't have to agree with what the president does. I'm not telling you you have to agree with him. But he said something really profound. He said, we do not worship the government in the United States. We worship God. I thought that was awesome. Don't you think that was awesome? Because we should respect the government. Don't get me wrong. That's right. You know what I'm saying? I want to go out of here people saying, oh, we shouldn't, But we don't worship the government. We worship God. And God has put in place the government, right? So I thought that was awesome. Again, you don't have to agree with everything someone says. But I thought that was good. I thought that was praiseworthy, because we should recognize that we have a God who is so awesome and has done so many amazing things. So Here we hear this. Truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Listen carefully. And greater works than these will. We can insert they because he's talking to men here, so just understand this. But they will do. Did you hear that? Think about all the things Jesus has done. What has he done up to this point? Raised Lazarus from the dead, cured the blind, cured the deaf, cast out demons, walked on the water, fed multiple thousands of people. Pardon me? Okay. So, brothers and sisters, what does Jesus say here in response to Philip about who we, as his children, as Peter tried to explain to the churches in his first letter, when he tried to explain who we are, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, what should happen among us? We should expect the same things, but what does he say here? Greater! Sometimes you think our expectations are a little low. Think our expectations are a little low? Yeah. Because isn't that what it says? Can the Lord do what he says? Is the Lord capable of doing even what doesn't make sense to us? I don't know. I was pretty impressed with that. So when he says that, he says, whatever you ask in my name, he says, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. He says, because I am going to the Father, which we're going to celebrate on Ascension, right? And then 10 days later, after they go and try to figure out how to run a church, and they really mess up, by the way, then on Pentecost, he shows up and he shows them what he meant by this, right? Because he says, I'm going to the Father, and greater things you're going to do than even I did, because whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. We should insert there according to his will, right? Because I tried that when I was in Bible school. I wanted a Mercedes. Didn't quite work. You know, forgot that it had to be according to his will. Kind of an important little thing there. But if you ask me anything in my name and it's according to my will, I will do it. Why? Why will he do it? Because he loves us. Because he died for us. Because he rose again for us. Because he has plans for us. Because he's called us by name. Because he has chosen us to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession. And all he asks of us is to proclaim his excellencies. I love that word. How many of you go around saying, I'm going to proclaim his excellencies? I'm going to read it again for you, just because you got to hear it. Sometimes I got to question what these English Standard Version guys were thinking, because I liked it in the NIV. It's the only time you're going to hear me talk about the NIV again, but I liked it. Because it made a little bit more sense. But look at what he says. He says, I'm going to close with this because I think it's just funny. Got to get my glasses here. Okay. He says, once you were not a people. Oh, no, sorry. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession. The NIV said, a people belonging to God. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Isn't that awesome to know who we are? Isn't it awesome to know what that means in perspective of John 14? What it means that God wants us not only to do what he did, but to do even greater things than what he did. He wants us to show people mercy and grace and show them his power and his promises to see how he can do amazing things among us. Isn't that awesome? And that's what he means by excellencies. I don't know why they changed the word. I think it's just because they wanted people to pay attention. Sometimes you change things just to get people to, but to proclaim his excellencies. What are his excellencies? Things he did? Raising people from the dead? Healing the sick? Casting out demons? Walking on water? All his works? All the things he's done? It's amazing. So may we go forth proclaiming his excellencies, knowing who we are and what he has called us to do. Amen.